This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming, to movies, TV shows, and pop culture, to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA, with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here, live from the NVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Riot Fest is a three-day music festival featuring punk, rock, alternative, and hip-hop. And it's been around since 2005. Joining me to speak about the history of this festival is founder Michael Patrician. Thanks for joining me, Mike.
My pleasure.
All right, I have to know, what was the catalyst for Riot Fest? Like, how did it start?
Started, you know, in 2005, I was working downtown at a law firm, and I was an attorney. I was just essentially editing documents, and I was already quit my PhD program, and I was just trying to figure out what to do next, and I'd be like, yeah, innocently enough, it was like, maybe if I got some of my favorite bands to come back, play a show together, that'd be something I'd like to do. And that was May of 2005, and then literally a month later, we announced our first Riot Fest.
Wow, so you went from a law firm, dropped out of your doctorate stuff. Man, you weren't part of the industry. How did you convince these bands to come to your festival?
I didn't know anything. It's completely green. There was agents who initially kind of picked up on that I had a passion for it. And none of them really asked if I've done this before back then. So I was learning on the job. I had my wits about me, you know, but it was really put together really quickly. And I mean, I learned a lot, made a lot of mistakes, and I think, you know, I didn't think it would, after it was all said and done, there was like, there's no way I'm going to do this again. And for several months, it was like, I'm not doing this again. This is just way too much stress. And then, like, I started missing it. So we did, you know, and then we did 2006 and so on and so forth. But it was like year to year for the first like 5 years. You know, we'll see how it goes and if I feel like doing this again. And so I was working a full-time job, you know, in the first 5 years. And it was hard to balance it all.
Okay, so I know this sounds really cheesy, but the only reference I have, like movie-wise, is Wayne's World 2. And where he has to put the concert together. And yeah, exactly. But he failed, right? He couldn't sell tickets. The permits were all wrong. And the bands, they just didn't show up. But in the end, you know, all the bands showed up and it was a big, great thing.
Right.
But in this case for you, was there ever a moment where it's like, oh my God, how did we get this?
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, when we were indoors, I mean, we were in clubs from, you know, 2005 to 2011. We finally took it outdoors in 2012. And, I mean, it kind of grew each and every year. So, I mean, there was like, you know, looking back now, you know, over the last 15 festivals and especially the early years, it was, you know, there was like bands who would drop off last minute, all this other kind of stuff. And, you know, I was pulling my hair out of my head. But I look back on it now and it was all just kind of prepped for it going outside eventually. It was just like this kind of organic growth where we built a base without knowing it. And at some point after the fifth year, it kind of became its own thing. It had its own life. It was all like accidental in a way. I never thought I'd be doing any of this, but I'm thankful. You know, we have the greatest fans in the world. I think most festivals across the country and throughout Europe and even the world are, you know, look at our fan base. It's amazing how connected we are with them. So, and a lot of them have been going every single year for 15 years. It was like a lot of word of mouth, and then it just blew up one year.
So over the course of the 15 years you've been doing this, have you changed the way you've looked at musicians? Like going from a consumer to now you're dealing with them. Did your perception change at all?
One thing I realized, I mean, it was I had, you know, I listened to a lot of punk rock when I was younger and still do. And, you know, I treated in my head that some of these people were icons. Well, the one thing I've learned with musicians, and, you know, I've never really had too many issues with artists where I, like, don't like them or anything like that. It's just, like, they're human. And maybe that's one of the reasons why they connect with our festival so much, because artists want to play it, because because not only they're playing in front of eager fans, but they're also fans of the other bands. And, you know, we've had, you know, some big artists who are known as being, like, problematic or what have you, but, you know, they're artists, and they're particular, and there's nothing inherently wrong with that. So I guess, like, how I look at artists now is just that they're just human, you know, just like everybody. And there's really the level between the stage and the fans is minimal.
So this year you have the B-52s performing. Is it hard to get bands like them to do the reunion tours?
You know, B-52's been going out, you know, pretty often. This is their last go-around. I mean, I've been trying to get them to play, you know, Ride for a few years now, sending operas and other years. Finally just kind of worked out in a way because of their routing and fit into their schedule. So I'm really happy because it's the first time playing Riot. You know, there's bands that we work on for years to play Riot, you know, especially like top line stuff. It's reunions and all that. I mean, for something like the Misfits, it took like 5 years.
5 years? Like, are you negotiating during that time, or is it just...
No, it was just like, I'm counting the 5 years as like my first Danzig show to, you know, first Danzig club show to the following year, having Glenn do like a three-part set for Riot Fest where he, you know, played songs off just Danzig, and then reunited Sam Hain for the second part of it, and then Brett Doyle out and did a Misfits set. And that kind of eventually set the stage for the Misfits reunion.
For your own personal experience, what band are you most proud of for locking into Riot Fest?
That's a loaded question. It's tough to say, but I think, you know, every big headliner or reunion, for instance, like the Specials playing Riot Fest was huge for me, you know, a few years ago, because, I mean, that's a band that I've listened to, you know, since my teen years, and for them to play my festival, it was extremely special. If I had a lock one that was like, I felt that didn't, it took me months afterwards, like that it hit me that they actually played was certainly the Misfits. I am a big Glenn Danzig fan. I am the reverse Misfits fan. Even though I listened to punk rock and all that as a kid, I wasn't really into the Misfits. I liked Danzig's first four albums. It was one of the few metal bands I listened to back then. And then I really got into Sam Hain. And then, you know, I got into Misfits last. And when they finally put their hooks into me, they became one of my favorite bands. But to pull something off like that, which nobody thought would happen, was special. And it took me months after the festival. I was driving back home to Buffalo to visit my folks during Christmas. And, you know, the Misfits came on off my phone, my car. And then I just, like, locked it in and just listened to their entire catalog. And midway through, I was like, holy smokes, that actually happened. Oh, my God, the Misfits played.
That is pretty cool. That would be defining, I think, for your career. I mean, Misfits, that's a pretty big name, right?
Yeah, it's the one that nobody thought would happen. But at the same time, like, Replacements was, like, I mean, just as special, you know? It's hard to say. It's like, you know, when you live in the storm a little bit, you kind of, like, revise, like, feelings and history in your head a little bit. But, you know, Misfits was special, Replacements was special, so was Jawbreaker. But Naked Raygun in 2006 is, like, up there, too. I mean, that's the band that kind of put us on the map. That was the first reunion that we had, and it was meant so much to the city. And, you know, I got to work with those guys for years later. And without that happening, who knows what Riot Fest would be around.
Now, Riot Fest, it's pretty massive. It's a big event. How long do you start planning for the next one? Is it immediately after the previously one, or do they overlap?
They overlap. I mean, we're already pretty deep into next year. You know, it didn't used to be like that. It's more recent where, you know, it just... And out of my, you know, volition, I'd rather have a few months off afterwards. But it takes, you know, 14 months. So they do overlap for a couple months.
That's too long. That's way long, longer than I thought it would
be. Yeah, it takes a long time. I mean, things start really getting heated. Like, not heated, but, like, you know, really busy, at least on the booking end, come December. And, you know, all throughout, you know, until we announce. But, you know, there's other things. There's marketing, there's logistics, there's all of it, you know. It's just not the bands, booking the bands themselves. Do the first thing, though. That's already started for next year.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I wanted to talk about what happened in 2015 with Humble Park. and you guys had to move to Douglas Park. But when you got there, the hospital, they filed a lawsuit against you guys. And, you know, obviously an agreement was reached. But did you ever think like, oh, this is it? You know, this is the end of Riot Fest. I don't want to deal with this stuff anymore. I mean, does that happen?
It was really stressful, I have to admit. And, you know, there comes a point where I know where I was. I was just like, I don't know if this is worth it anymore, the amount of stress. You know, obviously survived it, and it was, you know, it turned out in our favor and all, but nonetheless, it's like quality of life. I mean, this is a stressful job, and, you know, it's worth it because, you know, there's so many, you know, there's people come from all over the world, and they, you know, look forward to a lot of smiling faces. You know, I get it because I'm a fan of the bands too. So there's really nothing like Riot in the world. And I, you know, to the fans, it means something. So, it, you know, no matter how stressful it gets, it's like, I have to remember that.
Now, as an organizer, is the park important, like location? I would imagine, you know, as a consumer of concerts, I really just care where it's at. Like, oh, it's in Chicago, then it's close enough. But as an event organizer, does the place matter?
Sure, it does. It's two things. It's place and the venue itself, or room, or park, and how you can build within it. You know, there's plenty of beautiful parks across Chicago and stuff like, you know, that around, but Douglas, you know, because of the open fields and everything like that, is really conducive to what we do, because there's nothing worse that at a festival than traversing from one station to another and to have it take, you know, 30 minutes at a ride. It literally takes like 4 minutes to go from the furthest stage, you know, from stage four to stage one, and tell us that people love it. So they really don't, they can catch a half a set of a band and then go catch somebody else without, you know, spending 30 minutes walking through a crowd. Douglas, like, for us, is like, it's a great venue. It's just wide open. So we get to, you know, place stuff. You know, there's a lot of usable space for us in Douglas Assault, is what I'm saying. And it's made everybody's life so much easier.
So what can we expect for this year's Riot Fest lineup?
Been out for a few months. I think, you know, we have a lot of album plays. It's our 15th anniversary, so the theme of it all was bringing back a lot of the family of bands. You know, ones who've repeated, do some special albums, whether it be like Flaming Lips, Blink, or Ween, but, you know, Dashboard. But it's just, there's a story to be told within the lineup of Riot Fest this year. You know, bands that have been in the clubs, who played the clubs with us back in the day, like a Pennywise, and bands that became part of, you know, the family throughout the years, like Taking Back Sunday and Ween and Slayer and, you know, Wu-Tang. And these are, you know, artists who've played our, you know, I did club shows with them back in the day, or they played Riot a bunch, and it's just kind of wants to have a fun party. And obviously, you know, Bikini Kill playing is the reunion of the year, and it's exciting. A lot of people are jazzed about that. So, and it's like Patti Smith coming back. I mean, there's so much. Like, I think it's one of our best bills we've put together, and it's cool to see the artists wanting to kind of celebrate alongside of us and saying yes pretty much right away.
Well, thanks, Mike, for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find more information about you and Riot Fest?
They can just go onto the website. It's riotfest.org, and everything's there. Lineup, schedules, anything like that.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne, that's all one word, and don't forget to share the show with your friends.